We've been having a good time. Amen. The first day I was here, we talked about the Pool of Bethesda and how God healed the man who had been sick for 38 years, but didn't do it the way he expected. And we learned that it's your time now. Remember that? Yep. Last night we talked about you can have it if you stretch. And we talked about how God wants to stretch us. And today, we're talking about grabbing the grapes. Here, you want one? If you can't have fun in the house of God, where can you have fun? There's great joy. We've been having such a good time. And I want to talk about grabbing the grapes. And you might realize the story, recognize the story in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 through 33. It's a long story. It basically describes how the Israelites have left and the Egypt and they send the spies out to the promised land. You know, this is before the 40 years of wandering. And the spies brought back fruit from the Holy Land, okay? And that's kind of what the story is about. So, but in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 and 14, God tells Abraham that his seed shall be a stranger in the land and will be afflicted for 400 years. Then God will judge the nation and the Israelites will come out of that nation with great substance. So God gave Moses a word of promise to bring the children of Israel out. It's a promise that comes to them after 430 years of slavery. And the promise is in Exodus chapter 3, verse 17, which says, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites into a land flowing with milk and honey. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, he tells them, wait a minute, I told you that it was a land flowing with milk and honey, but I left something out. There's a great and godly city, cities there that you didn't build, and their houses full of all good things that you filled not those houses, and wells that are already dug, you won't have to dig any, and there are vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. Sounds like a good deal, huh? There's just one small detail. There's giants over there. How many know there's giants over there? And so in Numbers chapter 13, Moses sends the 12 spies out to the land, and they bring back some fruit from that land, pomegranates and figs and grapes. And the grapes, the clusters were so big that took two men with a big spear. And it took two men to carry this one cluster of grapes. And it was just a representation of what was there. Now that's a pretty good sized cluster for today, isn't it? You know, beautiful clusters of grapes. But can you imagine a cluster of grapes that's like 4 foot tall and big around as a barrel? Woo! You know, I'm thinking, wow. So, grapes. Pretty awesome stuff. I don't know about you, but I kind of like grapes. The Bible doesn't say who these two men were, which of the spies brought them back, but I kind of think it was Joshua and Caleb, you know, the guys with the good report. Because grapes have such spiritual symbolism. Grapes represent the new wine. Grapes represent fertility and fruitfulness of the Lord. It represents prosperity. It represents a whole lot of really, really good things. And the 12 spies, they said, yeah, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, and here's the fruit. But the 10 of those spies went on to say, nevertheless, in the King James, it says, nevertheless-eth. In today's word, in today's vernacular, to quote your pastor, it would be something like, but. Here's the fruit, but. Oh, man. And I'll tell you what, church, I see that little word, but, that three-letter word, but. And I know when I see that, I know trouble is stirring. That one little word has robbed people from their faith, stolen their health, robbed them of their dreams, kept them from the miracle, and slammed the door on their face. The promise of God made null and of no effect. But they'll say, I know that God can heal. I know God can deliver. Yeah, you're getting it. I know God can save. I know God can open the door. I know God can bring out water from the rock. But can He give us a table and put meat on it here in the wilderness? I know God can, but... Doesn't that just irritate you? That's good preaching, but that's irritating, isn't it? How many times, though, have we all stood on the border of our promised land and looked over and failed to take possession just because we had a hard time believing that God either was not able or did not want to help us after He had promised it to you? You see, the 10 spies, they all had one big problem. They had giants in their eyes. They came back from this land of milk and honey, this land of prosperity and blessing, this land that God had already given them the title deed to, and they said, but they had giants in their eyes. They didn't have destiny in their eyes. They didn't have grapes in their eyes. They did not have the promise of God in their eyes, in their heart. They had giants. At some point in your life as a believer, you got to make up your mind. What are you going to have in life? What are you going to have? You're going to have grapes, or are you going to give in to the giants? It's a big question, isn't it? The grapes represent the promises and the blessing and the provision of God. The giants, the enemy and the adversary to the promise of God and that which holds back provision. Giants are employees. Did you know that? They are employees of the devil to frustrate you, to steal the promises of God from your life. There are all kinds of giants, isn't there, church? Fear is a giant. Insecurity is a giant. Inferiority is not a complex, it's a giant. Sickness, debt, depression, worry, anxiety, stress, famine, family problems. Woo! Now that's some good preaching, isn't it? That really puts the joy of the Lord in your life, right? But we got to mention this stuff because they're real life issues. They're real life issues. I believe in preaching about real life issues. Anybody here ever had to deal with fear? Fear of man, fear of failure, fear of bankruptcy, fear of whatever. I'm afraid of being fearful. Golly, Sarge, you know. In life, you're either going to have giants or you're going to have grapes. But you can't have both. That means either the giants are going to occupy your thoughts and capture your attention and decide your actions and control your life, or the grapes will. If you are motivated and energized and driven by the grapes, the giants won't be that big of a deal. But if you're controlled and manipulated and dominated by the giants, then you'll never taste the grapes. I like the grapes. But when you're motivated, energized, driven by the grapes, you will scare people. Did you know that? Because you're making a choice to step out of everything you've ever known. You're going to have to step away from everything you've ever lived by. You're going to have to rewrite the code of your life. You're going to be a person of great faith, not of great fear. And there's no such thing as having faith and being afraid. Fear is debilitating. It'll cripple you. It'll keep you from having the courage and the bravery to step out and be everything that God intends your life to be. You listening to me? You know what? When you become aggressive in your faith, and when you become bold in your confession, you're going to attract attention. You're going to stir some people up. Some people are going to be really happy. Like, woo, bless God, it's about time that old cotton picker got up off his you-know-what and started making something of his life? Until I've been to Oklahoma for a little while, huh? But not everybody's going to be real thrilled with it. There's people that want to hold you back and hold you down. Who does he think he is? He's all getting all up and mighty. We know who he is. You know, he's that little pothead from Clatskanie, Oregon. I know who he is. He never amounted to nothing in his life. What is he now? Delusional? You know, he thinks he's something special? Not really. I just know that God has some promises for my life. And I've seen a whole bunch of it come to pass, but God's not done yet because the whole script hasn't been written yet. Well, it's been written, but I haven't lived it out yet. The script's been written. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for you. How much of your life have you been able to walk out? There are people that will hold you back. There are people that will hold you down. But you've got to say, forget it, man. I'm going to the vineyard. I want time to get me some grapes. You know, once you taste the grapes, the giants don't matter anymore. And the haters don't matter anymore. Grapes are just wonderful, and giants are just something you have to deal with as you're getting the grapes. Tell somebody, I ain't afraid of no giant. Giants are problems. Grapes are promises. If one grape is one promise, I got a whole bowl full of promises here. I got a whole cluster of promises. They're all related, you know. One grape is great, but when you get one grape that's attached to a cluster, I think God wants you to have the whole cluster. Oh, hallelujah. If somebody, I'm not advocating hitting the lottery. You can't hit the lottery if you're not playing it right. But I'm just using an illustration here, okay? I'm not advocating gambling, so whatever you deal with, you deal with. But, you know, say you won the lottery, and this represents the whole lottery, okay? Woo, I got the whole cluster here. Oh, but bless God. It's hard to be humble. So I think I'll just take one grape. That's enough for me. Y'all can have the rest. Crazy, huh? That's about the most stupid and ludicrous thing you ever heard, right? I mean, I'm taking the whole cluster. And if you don't want yours, I'll take yours too. But I think you want yours, so we'll all be good together, won't we?
Yeah.
You know? I want everything that God has for me. I don't want God to say, I got you a whole bowl of promises here, and you say, okay, I'll just randomly take one. Hallelujah, God, I'm good now. But how many of us are like that in life? How many of us don't realize everything that God has for us? Oh, if I just take one little grape, I can sneak away from the giants and eat it in quiet. Nobody will ever know. No, that ain't how it works, is it? God says today is the day of breakthrough for somebody. Some of you are going to get out of giant prison today. Because giants will take you and they will bind you and they'll put you under oppression. But somebody's coming out of giant prison today. Tell your neighbor, I'm busting out of here. Today is the day of possessing. God is giving you vision. God is... You're not going to have your eyes full of giants anymore. You're going to see grapes. You're going to walk grapes. You're going to think grapes. You're going to establish yourself on the promises of God. You're going to walk it. You're going to talk it and partake of it. I'm feeling good. You can't eat grapes and feel bad. You know what, guys? When you close your eyes, I want you to be able to see grapes. I want you to see the promises of God. I want you to see the provision that God has in store for you. It brings such confidence. It brings such hope. It brings such assurance. And it makes you understand your destiny is sealed if you'll walk it out right. We did the motorcycle thing yesterday. I remember something Dale said. He said, I'm going down the road and I'm a watcher. I like to see everything going on around me. But the thing is, we're talking about this. The thing is, wherever your eyes go, your bike goes. It's natural. They teach you this in class. I'm spitting grapes. I'm full of grapes. It's not funny. You know you're messed up when Jesus laughing at you. This woman can play poker. She doesn't, but she could. You know, she got the face. I got a pair of deuces or a royal flush here. Somebody said flush it. Okay, I will. But wherever your eyes go, that's where you go. They teach you this in motorcycle safety class. And how true is it as well with us? We're, I'm traveling down the road and I'm... Molly Hatchet, y'all don't want to go there. But their eyes were... If your eyes are fixed on where you're going and you're going the right way, you're great. But if your attention gets diverted, you're going to drift over that way and you're going to get off the road. You know, a hurdler. Anybody like to watch track and field? Hurdlers, you know. The hurdlers are taught not to look at the hurdles. Look at the finish line. When you're running, if you look at the hurdle, you're going to hit the hurdle. If you're running, whoa, you're just looking at the hurdle, bam, down you go. Scrape your knees, you get up, you're last, run to the next hurdle, you look at that hurdle, boom. It's an ugly picture, isn't it? I don't want to fall over every hurdle and get to the finish line last and get to the finish line the hard way, all bloody and messed up and battered, you know? I want to look at the finish line. I'll fly over those hurdles. I don't care if I am fat. I'll fly over those hurdles. Yeah, you guys need to get a new mental picture of my abilities here. Come on. That's my ugly praise. Keep your eyes fixed. There's a lot of reasons you need to do that. Let me tell you one of the biggest reasons. Is because the next generations below us need us to show them the way. We need to be able to do this right so we can pass that down to our children and our grandchildren. How many of us have a family understanding, a generational understanding of the things of God? I do. I brought this down to my kids. I got two wonderful kids. My daughter and her husband are pastors in Springfield, Oregon. My son is born again, spirit-filled, on fire for God. He has his first level of ministry credentials, and he's on fire for God. He's faithful. Right about now, he's probably breaking down the PA system back home. Getting close to it. We get out a little earlier there than you long-winded people here. But he's involved, is what I'm saying. And I think it's great that they can be around the ministry all their life and see the good and the bad and not be turned off by it, but want to participate in that because God calls them and that generational thing that goes with that. You know? My ceiling is my kids' floor. You know, I'm the basement. My kids are the first floor. My grandkids are the second floor, and so on. We want to build a tower to the Lord, you know? Yeah. We can do this thing. But it starts by keeping your eyes off the giants and getting your eyes on the grapes. There's a heritage to pass on. What will your confession be? Will your confession be, son, grandkids, daughter, we came to a land flowing with milk and honey, but the giants were so big and so mean that we didn't even try to fight them. We just forfeited our inheritance. Or will it be, son, daughter, grandkids, we came to this land flowing with milk and honey. Grapes were so big it took two full-grown men to carry a cluster of them. And, oh yeah, there were some giants there, but no big deal. We took care of that, and we dealt with that. And now you don't even have to because we cleared the land for you. Yeah. We didn't just clear it for ourselves. We cleared it for our kids, for our juniors, yeah, and our thirds, and our fourths, and our fifths. You know? Yeah. Right, Junior? I dig it. Fourth. Are you fourth? Dude. You know what the number four means, by the way? Numbers have meanings. Four means open door. And there's an open door of the Lord for you, number four. Number four is number one in my books, I'm telling you. There's two kinds of people in the church, though, aren't there? There's those who want to spend all their life measuring how big the giants are. You know, that's a big butt in front of my promise. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot who I was preaching to for a minute. That was a big obstacle in front of my promise. Never mind. You get it. We can spend all of our time looking at the obstacles and measuring how big the giants are. Or we can take that same energy, that same focus, and turn that the right direction and start weighing how heavy the grapes are. Measure the giants or weighing the grapes. What are we going to do? I'm going to weigh those grapes. That's going to take a big scale. Because God's got a lot of promises on there, doesn't He? God has a lot of grapes for you and for me and for this church, this community. I'm starting to feel something in here. I'm starting to feel the Holy Spirit in here. You know, the first night, some of you haven't heard, the first night I walked in here, I'm thinking, yeah, I walk in here, and it's like, oh man, God, you already beat me here. I feel your presence here. You're already here before me. You know, like, God says, duh, you know. So the second night I got here, and it's like, whew, Lord, you beat me here again. Lord said, no, I didn't. I never left. And it's just flowing all weekend like this, isn't it? But I'm feeling something here. I believe I'm feeling a giant stomping anointing in here this morning. Somebody's getting ready to stomp down on some giants. Put some giants under your feet. Somebody's getting ready to stomp some giants that have been lying to you, that have been stealing from you, that have been deceiving you, that have been robbing your health, been manipulating you, been keeping your job from you, keeping your provision from you. But that was yesterday. Turn to somebody and say, that was yesterday. I feel a grape anointing in this house. Y'all never heard of a grape anointing before, have you? This is revelation knowledge for some of you. But there's a grape anointing for you this morning. I believe I feel somebody standing up in their faith this morning, right now, today. Somebody here. The giants have been lying to you, threatening you, stealing from you. But today, you're getting the grapes. Today, you're grabbing the grapes. Tell somebody, I'm grabbing the grapes. I'm grabbing my joy. I'm grabbing my peace. I'm grabbing salvation for my prodigals. I'm grabbing a new anointing. I'm grabbing a breakthrough. I'm grabbing what I need from the Lord. Oh, church, grab some grapes. Grab for your ministry. Grab for the restoration of your family. Grab for the healing of your body. Grab as many as you can. Grab as many as you want. Tell your neighbor, I'm a giant killing, grapes grabbing child of God. Woo! If I was Ric Flair, I'd be strutting all across this place. Yeah. You non-pro, never mind. Some of y'all just too spiritual. I'm a giant killing, grape grabbing child of God. What a tragedy it is when the giants stop you from eating your grapes when they're growing on your own property. You realize that? On your own property. You're not the trespasser sneaking into the neighbor's vineyard and popping a grape, you know? The grapes are on your own property, but the giants are keeping you from your grapes. You're not stealing those grapes. Jesus paid for them with His own blood. Amen. Hebrews 11:1. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Ever read that in the Amplified Version? It says, faith is the title deed to what you haven't laid eyes on yet. The promises of God are title deeds. You've already got the title in your hand. What are you doing with it? You going to ignore it? Going to let it go to waste? Don't let it grow up into weeds. It's your property. God provided it. God purchased it and gave you the title. The promises are yours. Tell somebody, I got my title deed. Yeah, sometimes you need to get a little forceful, huh? Giants are intimidating. That's why they're called giants. Revelation knowledge for somebody. But from the days of John the Baptist, the Bible says, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. I'm going to take what's mine. I'm going to grab what the Lord says is for me. How about you? The grapes are your reward for standing on the Word of God. All hell was breaking loose in your life, but you stood by the Word of God. Sickness was attacking your body, but you stood on the Word of God and got your healing. Your finances were being attacked, but you stood on the Word. Your marriage was under attack. Your family threatened to be dissolved and just scattered everywhere. But, not all buts are bad. But the Lord has a different plan. The Lord wants to bring breakthrough for your family, breakthrough for your marriage, breakthrough for your finances, breakthrough for your health, breakthrough for your breakthrough. Now, God is excessive. He's extreme, He's extravagant, and He is very generous. And it's all about the grapes, isn't it? It's all about the promises of God. Maybe there's giants in the land. I don't care. It's always better when you get what you're supposed to have after a good fight, huh? Yeah. You know what I mean? Some of you do. Some of you just looking at me like, what? Sometimes you got to fight for what's right. God never promised us that we wouldn't have to fight. Matter of fact, He tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the armor of God. Because you're going to need that stuff. You know? The grapes. Are you grabbing the grapes or are you hiding from the giants? Me, I'm not hiding from no giant. I'm not hiding from that which is holding back the promise of God in my life. Because I know for every step I take forward, God takes two with me. I'll take a step and He'll snatch me up and He'll take a couple steps with me. You don't walk this out alone. God is with you. I just came this morning to encourage you, to strengthen your faith, to let you know that God is with you, and with Him, you can do all things. God is not enough. He is more than enough. We are not conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We are not blessed. We are more than blessed. We are eternally, gloriously blessed. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you, how are things with you and God this morning? There may be somebody here that doesn't know the Lord yet. Or maybe there's somebody here whose faith has gotten cold and their walk with God has been compromised, and it's time to get your house in order. God loves you so much, and He's the God of restoration. And it doesn't matter what your life has been like or what you've done. God never rejects us. God never rejects us. But I'd like to ask you, is things right with you and God this morning? If there's somebody here that would say, I am not a Christian, and I would like to give my life to the Lord this morning, I want you to just simply raise your hand and say, yes, that's me, Pastor Larry. I'd like you to pray with me to receive Christ. Is there anybody here this morning? Then I'll move to the second part. Maybe there's people here that would say, Pastor Larry, I'm not where I need to be in the Lord, and I know that. I need to get right with God. I'd like you to raise your hand so we can pray with you. Just need to get things right with God. Got issues. Need to bring it before the cross. For the privacy of the person that raised their hands, I'm not going to bring them forward. I'm just going to do this blanket prayer, okay? But I know God is going to honor that. So let's just pray this prayer real quick. Father God, we love You. And we thank You for Your forgiveness. We thank You for the cross. And I ask right now that You would restore my life. That You would forgive me. Cleanse me of all sin. Cleanse me of all iniquity. Empower me by the Holy Ghost to be righteous, not with my own strength, but with the work of the Holy Spirit. I love you and is glad to be back with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen.